We'll just deal with a couple of questions quite briefly here. I'm aware of the time. The first one is this. One of the questions is, if I have doubts about faith in God, is that a bad thing in my walk as a Christian? Now, the common answer that I've heard to this is something like, well, doubt is an important element of faith. And in fact, you can't have faith without doubt. That's a common sort of sentiment that goes around today. And I do understand where people are coming from in saying that, because as humans, it is natural to doubt. We don't have perfect knowledge. But I want to say that doubt isn't a feature of faith. We shouldn't treat it as something that is inherent to what faith is. And in fact, that's pretty clear in Scripture. You have a look in something like the book of James, and he says that we should pray for wisdom, and then he says, but the one who prays, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Doubts are not supposed to be a feature of faith, and yet we do have to acknowledge that in a fallen world where we don't know things perfectly, we do all wrestle, I think, with doubts from time to time. And that's why the Bible, a lot of it, is actually written addressing those things. You read the Psalms, you read Lamentations. There are expressions of doubt in the very pages of the book that God wrote to us. And so he takes those things seriously. What I would encourage us to do then is, when we have doubts, which we will have from time to time, is simply not to be content with those doubts. We need to work through them. Sometimes, Toby's playing another podcast, he must have gotten bored of what I had to say. Sometimes that will mean finding answers for basic questions that we have. And some other times, it will actually be quite a surprising and different way in which we need to work through those doubts. I've experienced doubt in my own faith from time to time. And what I found to be the case is actually surprisingly, the doubts that I had were not the intellectual stuff of, well, I'll just get an answer over here or an answer over there, but they were quite emotional sorts of doubts. And I found that I actually needed to work through those, not in a get the answers kind of way, but in a way in which I actually just press in and know Christ more. Doubting a person like Jesus is very different from doubting an idea. He is a person. We do believe in him. And so when we have doubts about him, sometimes we just need to be convinced about his love for us and his goodness toward us. And so I found that the way in which I worked through my doubts was not by finding answers somewhere, but just by memorizing and reciting scripture to myself and praying the prayers of the Bible. And this actually caused me to move closer toward Christ. So that's the first question. And the second and last is just a question about evangelism and this call, which I touched on sort of briefly in the teaching, about how we go with Jesus and we want to make disciples. That's what our life is about, as people on mission with Jesus. But as we speak to others, how can we overcome our natural kind of fear of their response? People can get very easily offended even when we have the best of intentions. They can be quite harsh in their criticism of us. Now, the unfortunate fact here is that we are called to take the message of Christ to people. The unfortunate fact is that actually there's no way around that message being a divisive message. Think about what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2. He says in verse 15, "We are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life." Now, he is expressing there that the gospel, when we proclaim it, is actually necessarily a divisive thing. Some will hear it and go, "I love that. That's the best news I've ever heard." And of course, that's what we pray for. And others will say, "That sounds horrible. That sounds homophobic. That sounds judgmental. And I hate what you have just preached to me." And it's no wonder then that Paul ends by saying, "Who is sufficient for these things?" It is a hard task we are called to in proclaiming the gospel. But he goes on then to say in verse 17, "For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." Expecting the fact that we will suffer from time to time, and it will be unpredictable when we will get this criticism in proclaiming the good news of Jesus. We need to be men of sincerity and women of sincerity who truly believe what we are speaking and who think that the suffering is worth it. The Apostle Paul saw suffering as another opportunity to participate in Christ. He says in Philippians, he says he doesn't just want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, but he says he also wants to know the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible he may attain the resurrection of the dead. And so we should have this approach, knowing that we will suffer for proclaiming the gospel here and there, to go, when we do, actually that is good news, because now I'm participating in the life of Christ in a different way, not in the resurrection way, but in the death way, in the suffering way, in the rejection way. And we see all over the scripture that that's how the apostles saw their suffering when they proclaimed the good news. Thank you for those questions, and I'll pass it back over to Dad to conclude.